You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. Another great show for you guys. Thursday edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, if you're not already following the show, please do so at Locked On Grizz. If you have a moment, please, please take just a few minutes and go rate and review the podcast in iTunes. It really, really helps the rankings for us over there for Apple. The Grizzlies go out and get a W last night against the Rockets. Exactly what we talked about. It would not surprise us on this show if they beat him. It would be a very Grizzlies thing to go out and do to beat the Rockets, who were on a playoff hunt, and the Grizzlies are out there playing spoiler last night. So it was a crazy, crazy game. The game ends up going into overtime. The Grizzlies only play eight guys. James Harden scores 57. Jonas Valanciunas and Mike Conley combined for over 60 points. Just an insane game. So let's go to this a little bit. So again, the Grizzlies were able to do something that we talked about on this show when they were on the last show when we previewed this game. They were able to use Jonas pretty effectively in the paint. Something they went back to time and time again. What was different about this time is they usually try to use James Harden on the big man to defend. And in the past, in past, it's been Marc Gasol, and Marc Gasol has never taken advantage of James Harden being on him in the post. He usually, for some reason, would just pass out or fade away, which would never take advantage of it. That was not the case with Jonas Valanciunas. He literally, it was like, he literally just saw it like a just delight and to know that they were going to try to guard, they were going to try to use James Harden to guard him. And a lot of times he just, you know, it was one bounce, one step, one move, and it was a bucket. I mean, he was incredibly efficient, 10 for 19 in the game, 33 points, 14 rebounds, 13 from 17 from the line. We were joking with him after the game before we kind of had his presser or had his availability that he thought he had 16 rebounds. And we were kind of joking. It was the one, at one point he had tipped it like four times, and I guess they probably didn't give him as many rebounds as he thought he probably should have. But he didn't realize he had shot 17 free throws, and neither did we until we kind of looked at it. Again, Mike Conley, 12 for 22, 35 points. But again, Jonas Valanciunas going inside the paint and taking advantage of James Harden was something I loved seeing that, just because it's never, ever happened with the Grizzlies before. So I thought that was really, really something that they took advantage of their size and length in the post. And so I was really happy to see that. Jonas Valanciunas and Mike Conley just had monster games. Just were fantastic all night. At one point, Mike Conley was, I think after the first quarter, he had 14 points and had only missed one shot. That's because he took like a last second shot at the buzzer at the end of the first quarter. But it was like, I think it was 5 for 5 from three. Or 4 from 4, either one, was just really, 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 really good tonight. He had 35 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 12 for 22, 6 for 9 from 3-point. Just really, really impressive for Mike Conley. And for the Rockets, they're, you know, it was a weird game from the Rockets. They just looked very laissez-faire about the whole game. They didn't look like they really wanted to be there. James Harden, as quiet as a 57 you can have, is what he had. I mean, he really was playing. I didn't realize he had 40 points. So I looked up and I was like, oh man, that's crazy. And then that's when he kind of started pouring it on late in the game and then into overtime. I mean, James Harden is so good at scoring the basketball. He's so good at knowing when to drive and when to take a three, when to really try to draw a foul. I mean, I don't like the way he plays the foul hunting game. I personally hate it. I would not want to watch him go to the free throw line all the time. That's not my version of good basketball. But I also understand that he is so damn good at the things that he does. And he shot 39 field goals. He was 18 for 39. 39 field goals. He shot 17 threes by himself. That's sometimes the Grizzlies don't even shoot 17 threes in, like, as a team. And so, again, the Grizzlies were up by like 17 late. And this game just started getting away from them. There was a point in there where without Jonas and without Mike Conley in there, they didn't know what the hell they were doing on offense at all. Like they were just running around. It was like a high school offense. It was like a dribble drive, set some random screens. It was all over the place. They could not score the basketball without Jonas or Mike Conley in the game. They only play eight guys. They play Tyler Dorsey, Chandler Parsons, and Joakim Noah off the bench. No Javon Carter, no Ivan Rabb. I mean, I know Javon Carter played in the Hustle game before, but so did Tyler Dorsey. Tyler Dorsey played like 34 minutes tonight before, and then comes out and gets 22 minutes tonight. So, again, I had someone ask me on Twitter about that last night. You know, they've got time with Javon Carter. They've got to make decisions on Tyler Dorsey and DeLon Wright soon. So I get it why people want Javon to play, but at the same time, they want to know what they have in Tyler Dorsey and DeLon Wright, and especially Tyler Dorsey above Javon Carter. They have time with Carter. They do not have time with Tyler. So I understand what they're trying to do. I understand. I get it. It makes sense. And I think that's probably the right decision. But again, Tyler Dorsey has 22 minutes. And this is probably the first time I've gotten to see a lot of extended Tyler Dorsey minutes, but I like Tyler Dorsey. I think he's a good player. I joked last night that Tyler Dorsey was better than DeLon Wright. I don't know if that's true, but it was still a fun joke. And Joe Malonix, our site manager for Grizzly Bear Blues, did not take kind to it because DeLon Wright is his dude. You know, DeLon Wright, not a good game for DeLon Wright. 9 points in 41 minutes, 3 for 9, 1 for 4 from three. Not a great night for really anyone besides Mike Conley and Jonas Valanciunas. I thought Bruno played well. He was 6 for 10. He had 15 points. Had good minutes. Yeah, you know, DeLon Wright really struggled. I thought Justin Holiday was probably the best defender they had or able to put on James Harden. DeLon was on him at some points, and DeLon just really, really struggled with defending James Harden. Again, it's James Harden, and I get it. So I don't really, you know. It's a struggle for anybody to guard him, not much less DeLon Wright. And I thought Justin Holiday was the better of the two on James Harden. Justin Holiday spent a lot of time just trying to contain James, and so I understand his offensive numbers probably don't look as good as they probably should. Again, they look about as good as they have been the past few weeks. We've talked about it. I'm not a Justin Holiday fan. I would be surprised if he's back. We talked about the summer and kind of cap space what they have yesterday on the podcast, and I didn't even mention him getting signed because that's how much I believe that he won't be here. just because I just don't think it's even worth talking about. I don't want him back, and I'd be surprised if they bring him back. JB Bickerstaff made some weird, weird decisions down the stretch, but we'll talk about the end of the game coming up next. Let's take a quick break. We'll talk about the end of the game coming up next, and in the last segment we'll hear from some of the players in the post game availability as well. Welcome back to the show. Again, as I mentioned, this game came down to a crazy kind of finish. First of all, again, like I mentioned, the Grizzlies couldn't score without Jonas and Mike Conley in the game. And JB Bickerstaff makes a decision to sit Jonas and Mike Conley at the same time in the fourth quarter down the stretch. They were up 17. While they were on the bench, this group has no idea what they're doing on offense. Has no clue what the hell they're trying to do. Which, by the way, side note, is even crazier, the fact that these guys have had multiple days off, multiple practices, and why does DeLon Wright still not know the plays, and why does Bruno Caboclo still not know what he's doing out there? That's several times when, like, on the, I think it was like the first play, maybe Justin Holiday, like, grabbed Bruno, and because he was going in the wrong direction, and pushed him in another direction, and then Bruno got an open three, but, like, constantly, Mike Conley is pointing and telling people they're in the wrong place. And this offense was Mike Conley trying to direct people, Justin Holiday to do a little bit of direction, trying to get people in the right places, and then Mike Conley just scoring the basketball because they ran out of time. That's what this game was. It was either that or pass it to Jonas in the post, which is all fine because it works out in the end. I mean, like, they won the game, but, like, if they didn't win the game, then this is like, what are you doing out there? And I still don't understand how you've been. It's been several weeks. Hell, it's been a while since Bruno's been on the team. And I don't know how many practices you've had in the past, not to mention this past week where you've had multiple days off for rest. How is it possible that they still don't know the plays? Like, I just don't get that. I mean, I'm just very confused about how they are so confused in the game itself. But I digress. That is what happened in this game. It was a lot of direction. So when with Mike and Jonas out, there was just like nobody knew what was going on. Like they would set a screen, and then like Bruno would set a screen for Justin or whoever or someone else, and they would kind of run off the screen and then turn around and maybe try to set another screen, and just, I mean, they were all over the place. They had no idea what's going on. So they get it back within nine. They take a timeout. Mike Conley finally gets back in the game. Jonas still sitting. Again, this is just the situation where they just started knocking down threes. And the Grizzlies just couldn't score the basketball. They ended up having the ball right before the Grizzlies were up. But the Grizzlies were up three. Either way, that the Rockets were about to foul to send them to the line to shoot two free throws. JB Bickerstaff takes a timeout. That is his last timeout. This will be noted later because, again, either you're taking the timeout because you think that the Rockets might go quick after the inbound, so you want to set up some type of defense. That's the only thing I can think of why you take that timeout there. Either way, the Grizzlies are up by one at that point because they take the full timeout. They end up fouling Justin Holiday to send Justin Holiday to the line. Justin Holiday makes both free throws. Rockets take a timeout, and they set up a defense where you're up three. The defensive assignment should have been switch everything, deny the three, and face guard James Harden. And what I mean by that is, and when you're face guarding James Harden, is you're not worried about the ball. You're not even looking at the ball. You have your back probably to the ball. You're literally just looking at James Harden, because a lot of times if you're guarding the man, you also have the ball in your peripheral as well. You're basically sideways, so you can react to the ball or the player. And so a lot of times you might be looking at the ball and the player slips behind you. So in this situation, you're just face guarding James Harden because you know he's the biggest threat. He's got 50 points at that point. I don't know what he has, but he's got 50 points probably. He's your biggest threat for a three point make. So you are face guarding James Harden, looking at him. Doesn't matter whatever happens ever on the course, you just make sure that he doesn't get the ball in any situation. And guess what exactly would happen? James Harden gets the ball going towards the basket and gets fouled on a three-pointer. A lot of problems here. The problem is JB admitted after the game that he wasn't switching. Like the goal is to stay with their man altogether, and they slipped a screen and they didn't communicate. It's very difficult on those plays, especially when you run, usually going to run James Harden, maybe off multiple screens to get him open on a last second play. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to make sure that you're communicating everything over screens, under screens, all that stuff in a last second situation. That's just a lot of times why you see his teams just switch everything. What that means is if they're gonna run a screen, no matter which way it goes, instead of taking the screen and try to get around it, you just stop with the screener and your other man continues to go with the player. So they're trying to basically, everybody, no matter what screens they go to, everybody's switching. And now the fear is that you get someone like Jonas Valanciunas or Joakim Noah switched on to James Harden, and you have kind of a mismatch there. But the problem is, in this situation, there's 4 seconds left, or like, actually, I think there's like 7 seconds left, something like that. I'm not sure. Like maybe 5 seconds left, something like that. 5 seconds left. Let's just say five. You have 5 seconds left, and you got to have a three. They're not going to drive the basket. A lot of times you have more time, and you say, okay, the first point, or the best first shot is the best shot. That's not the situation here. And so I have no idea why you don't switch the switch everything in that situation. Because even if you get swapped on to Joakim Noah with Harden or Jonas Valanciunas with Harden, whoever's in the game at that point, all you're doing is a 9-3. All they have to do is stand still and be tall. That's all they have to do. And it actually makes it for a more difficult shot shooting over Jonas Valanciunas than it does Justin Holiday. Either way, James Harden gets open and Justin Holiday fouls him because Justin Holiday puts himself in a really bad position because he gets behind on the play and James Harden pump fakes. And of course, Justin Holiday goes flying by him. And again, whether it's a foul or not, that's up for debate. I mean, he hit him a little bit on the head. Seeing a replay, it doesn't look like a foul. They caught it in real time. It doesn't matter. And then James Harden goes down and sinks the shots. I mean, and ties the game. And what's significant about the no timeout is now you're here down four, or you're here tie ball game, 4 seconds left, and no timeouts. So you have to just inbound the ball and hope for something that they can get the ball down the court in 4 seconds. Because when you call a timeout in that situation in the NBA, you can advance the ball. So you can advance the ball from the end of the court to basically the mid-court, right past mid-court. So 4 seconds becomes a lifetime at mid-court. At full court, 4 seconds is tough because you not only have to dribble around players, you have to get down the court and then try to get a good look. But at mid-court, 4 seconds is a lifetime. I mean, we've seen plenty of people make game-winning shots with less than 4 seconds from mid-court. The Grizzlies don't have a timeout because JB wasted it. And now the situation becomes a Chandler Parsons bobble. His hands doesn't even really get a shot off from half court. And, of course, misses the game, and they're going in overtime. From down 17, Rockets tie the game and put it in overtime. And then in overtime, thank God that Chandler Parsons was subbed into the game because he hits 2 threes in that overtime, and that's really all the offense there is for the Grizzlies. I mean, they really, really struggle in overtime. They were really trying to get the ball to Jonas Valanciunas on the block with James Harden guarding him. They started to bring double teams from the backside, and Jonas couldn't really see them coming. Had 2 turnovers, I know, in a row there in overtime. But again, you know, Chandler Parsons hits 1 3, puts them up, and then hits hits another 3 to really just kind of seals the game for the Grizzlies. Even after all that, even after Chandler Parsons makes 2 threes, puts them up, James Harden comes down and makes another 3 right in Mike Conley's face. Like, Mike Conley was standing there, hands up. I don't know what he was able to, like, I don't know what he could have done there in that situation other than foul him. There's nothing that you can do. James Harden just has better offense. And they're up, you know, the Grizzlies are up 2 at that point. DeLon Wright literally turns the ball over, trying to dribble around somebody. You can debate whether it's a kickball or not. I saw a lot of people say it was a kickball, but kickballs are only usually called if it's intentional. If a player sticks their foot out intentionally to try to alter the direction of the ball. So I understand why that wasn't called a kickball. It was just literally just dripping off someone's foot. It wasn't like they were trying to alter the direction of the ball. Either way, DeLon Wright turns it over. James Harden makes a bucket and ties the game. And then Jonas Valanciunas gets fouled by PJ Tucker and goes to the line, makes one, and there was like 0.1 second left and misses the other one on purpose to win the game. So overall an insane night. I mean, just a great game. I mean, first of all, it was fun to be there. It's fun to watch the game. It's fun to see the Grizzlies get a win against a playoff team. Hopefully they can do that against some crappier teams this weekend. But who knows? I mean, that's the way this team goes. They've been playing. They play great against good teams and play terrible against bad teams. So that's just the way things are shaking out right now. But the utter mismanagement of the coaching staff at the end of that game is just insane to me. They botched this thing all the way down in the fourth quarter to allow the Rockets to get back into it. Had they lost that game, it would have been squarely on the coaching staff shoulders. I mean, the players did everything they could have done. The right players did everything they could have done to win that game, and they didn't put the right players in the right positions to succeed at the end of that game, and that is their job. So turns out they didn't lose, they won the game, so that's not something we have to talk about. Coming up next, we're going to hear from all the players post-game and locker room stuff. We'll hear from DeLon, Jonas, Mike, and Chandler Parsons as well. We waited around a long time for him to come out. So we'll hear from those 4 guys coming up after the break. Welcome back to the show. Let's get right into it. Let's hear from Chandler Parsons first.
Chandler, how did it feel to hit some big shots tonight?
It felt really good. You know, haven't been in that position in a really long time. Feels really, really good. You know, I work really, really hard. The more games I play, I think the more rust I shake off, the more comfortable I'm getting, the better shape I'm getting, and just feel good. You know, my knees are feeling better than they have, and you know, as long as I can remember, and confidence is high, and you know, guys are finding me. I'm just starting to get in a little bit of a rhythm here, so hopefully I can just keep sustaining that and keep helping us out any way I can.
How important has it been for you just to feel part of it? I mean, this is the longest stretch that you've been able to play and be in and consistently in the rotation.
Yeah, it feels great. You know, when I was back home, it wasn't fun. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to do that. That was an awful feeling when, you know, your team's playing and you know you can help and you're sitting there watching league pass like my mom is. Like, it wasn't fun. So it's just good to be back. It's good to go through shoot around, practice, have no restrictions, and feel, you know, like I was 25 afterwards.
And you've had no irritation or, you know, reaction or anything like that?
No.
Mike said that, I guess the last three, he gave you a no look, you slid a little bit, he actually fed it to you low. It was a tough catch, and you came up and you made it. Did that feel like the best of times to get a tough pass and then finish it with a shot?
Yeah, you know, it felt good. Just hit one before, so I knew they were helping off, and the guy like Mike causes so much attention. I knew I was going to get a look, and so I just got to step into it and shoot the ball like I do every single day, hundreds of times, and it's starting to pay off.
You played all of overtime, right?
Yeah.
How far has it been through this process, knowing that JB's, you know, trusted you, has had faith in you, and you know he's been playing this good enough?
It's awesome. You know, he's a huge reason why I signed here in the first place, and I'm glad he's the head coach. And you know, I stayed in touch with him through the whole season, and you know, he did all he can do from his end. So I got all love for JB, and you know, it's one of my closest friends in the world.
You've sat next to Mark for a long time this season, and maybe for the past few, but I'm not really sure in those two seasons. But how different has it been sitting next to Jonas?
It's been awesome. He's an unbelievable guy, great teammate. A guy like him, you know, seeing him every day now, you kind of like, damn, like he's a monster. Like you don't even get that opportunity to do the things he's doing, like with the ball and off the block and the post. He's versatile. He can pass. As you can see tonight, they're double teaming him every time he got the ball. It's the type of player he is, and he's only 26 years old, so he's got a great future. And I love him.
How would you describe what he was saying to you guys between regulation and overtime?
JB?
No, Jonas. It seemed like Jonas was really animated.
Well, he was pissed at the refs about the about the no calls on the double team. But we were trying to limit 3-point line. But when you're dealing with a guy like James, he's the best offensive player like in the league, bro. He's insane. He causes so much attention. You can't touch him. It's a foul. He can shoot. He can drive. If you get caught between, he's throwing the lob to Capella. So he's pretty much unguardable. So I think, you know, we were just kind of getting in on that and, you know, just trying to lock in on the defensive end, so we knew we could get whatever we want on the other end.
When you first came back 2 weeks ago, you said it was like the first day of school a little bit. Like, where are you as far as just getting to know everybody, given how new the team still is?
Yeah, that transition's been easy. You know, when I was gone, I watched pretty much every game and stuck with it. Kept, you know, talking to JB about the plays and the different terminology we play, and he made it really simple. You know, once we had the guys come in here, we started playing faster, started playing more free, and we're just having fun.
How weird was that watching the games on TV?
It was awful. Especially, you know, it's one thing having surgery and being out for the season. It's another thing when you're, you know, working out for 4 hours a day live and feel the best you felt, and you're stuck at home.
How do you feel about Florida?
They had a tough bracket. I'm just honestly, it's the type of season I'm just glad we're in. Nevada's good. I think we'll be all right.
Everybody good?
Did you and Johnny Manziel, did Johnny say anything to you? You were right, you had that three like a couple of times.
Yeah, about to go to dinner with him right now.
That was Chandler Parsons post game after the win of the Rockets. Again, you can hear it in his voice a lot of times he talks. He's still pretty, I think he's pretty upset about the way things went down with the Grizzlies. You know, and they're looking worse and worse now, the fact that Chandler is not a good player, but you know, he can do something. So, you know, he always wanted to play. So, and he reiterates that, after the game, last night, but, let's hear from Mike Conley next.
What was it like to be a part of that?
Man, you got crazy there for a little bit. You know, that was a fun game. It's the kind of games that you want to be a part of, you know, big plays, you know, big opportunities for everybody. And, man, the way it ended was wild. I think JV, doing JV things, just being a house down low and saving the day was huge, and big night for him, and just happy we got away with the win.
Could you tell, did Justin actually touch Harden on that flyby?
Live, I thought he might have got him, you know, a little bit, but I saw it on the video, it looked like he kind of, like, it could be either way, like he kind of missed him, but, man, it's just a tough play, you know, we can't put ourselves in that situation, you know, to even have the option of a foul or not, so, and Harden is Harden for a reason, he makes big plays, and all three of those free throws are big.
The idea of that play, How was the intention to execute to keep? Because he caught it going towards the basket with momentum, which is, you know, not ideal in that situation.
Right. We had spoke about trying to stick with our matchup as, you know, while the ball was you know, still out of bounds, and then once it got in, we were going to switch everything. And they set a good screen, I think, and kind of, you know, dislodged Justin a little bit, and he wasn't able to, you know, stay attached. You know, in that time we probably should have just emergency switched and not allowed him to get any good look at the rim and not be behind, but it happened so quick, and this was a tough one.
Do you individually and does the team kind of, it almost seemed like you guys were feeding off Harden's greatness in a way, if that makes any sense.
You know, it was, when you're playing as a guy like that and seeing the shots he makes, plays he makes, you want to take that challenge. I think all of us just accepted it. You know, you're going against a great player. You know, it's going to be a dogfight. He's going to make, you got to expect he's going to make every shot down the stretch. But what are we going to do when we come down on our end? And I think everybody just, you know, stood up and really, you know, made that challenge known and accepted it and did what we had to do to win.
You know, a little more looking for the cutters, where JV, it seemed as though, was really looking for a shot. Was that by design because he's such a physical player? What was the difference?
Well, you know, we just, JV is who he is. You know, he gets the ball in the post and he goes straight to the basket, you know, straight to work. And that really helped us out a lot. You know, they really, you know, they thrive on switching and trying to, you know, create mismatches, try to, you know, stop the ball movement. But when we had JV, you know, doing the stuff he was doing in the post, they had to start double teaming, they had to start bringing extra bodies, and it really opened up the game for us a lot. And it was just a big time game for him, big time effort from him and Joe and all the other bigs who came in. They really did a good job of just being physical presences now.
What about Chandler? He hit a couple big threes. One, I think the pass you gave him was actually a little bit on the low side.
Yeah. Well, we had just did the same, like almost the same exact play the couple of plays before, and he didn't move on that one. Like, I thought he was going to stay in the same spot, and in the second one, he moved, slid a little bit on me because I never looked at him. It's kind of like one of those things where I know he's there, and I see his man kind of come over. I throw a no look to him, and so when I saw he moved, I was like, "Oh shoot!" I threw it out of bounds. But he made a great catch, and man, he's been playing great. I'm just happy to see him doing what he loves to do, you know, and you know, just trying to silence a lot of the people who've been negative, you know, on him, and just being, you know, a pro while he's doing it.
Mike, any sense of why you guys are so good recently against teams that are in the playoff picture and maybe struggle more against the teams that are sub 500?
You know, that's tough to put your finger on it. You know, we're playing good basketball, and you know, Atlanta was one of those nights we didn't show up. I thought in Washington our defense just failed us, but we were still, you know, scoring. We were still moving the ball. Guys were playing unselfish. We had opportunity to win that game. So. We're just giving ourselves chances in every game outside, excluding the Atlanta game, to win. And hopefully, you know, it starts a trend of what we need to do to be consistent. And when we play these really good teams, you know, how can we get up the same way for teams that might not be in the playoff picture? So hopefully we learn our lesson.
That was Mike Conley after the in post-game locker room, talking about a lot of different things, as well as just trying to guard James Harden on the last three, like I talked about. Is it's very difficult for him to even have a chance at guarding him whenever James Harden is. I mean, he's just making great shots. But let's hear from DeLon Wright.
Yeah, it was good. It's good atmosphere. I feel like we fortunate to win that game because we made a lot of mistakes that we, you know, could occur, couldn't have made. If that makes sense.
Yeah. JB said it was kind of like, you know, a lot of different guys contributed down the stretch, and yeah, for them it was kind of like, you know, James.
Yeah.
What's that like when it kind of feels like it's you against your team against one guy?
Yeah, I mean, for the person guarding them, you just have to, you know, rely on your teammates to help you. And just try to kind of force other – it's kind of hard because we were sending him downhill to try to make him either shoot a floater or put a lob. And, you know, you just have to hope that they miss and continue to stick to the game plan.
Is the coaching staff asking you to do more now that Avery's out?
No, because I just found out – we just found out he wasn't playing before the game.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really no just play, do my, you know, do my normal stuff.
You guys seem like you've got more zip in your step against playoff teams.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah, what, is that just human nature? I mean,
could be. It's not like we're like, okay, they're a playoff team. We want to play better. You know, we're trying to win every game, and you know, it just so happened that we're beating the playoff teams that are, you know, playing for something.
So what does that tell you when, on the one hand, you know, you get beat by Atlanta and Washington, but, you know, you beat Utah, you beat Houston in an overtime game?
I mean, we have to get our focus together and treat every team as a playoff team.
That was DeLon Wright after the game. And let's last one we have is Jonas Valanciunas post-game.
What's that? From the, all the way through to making the free throw at the end.
Oh, that was fun. You know, winning is always fun. Always fun play like that, you know, playing a good team. So it's fun to win.
Jonas, what did it feel like to hear that whistle blow and know you were going to go to the foul line with a chance to win the game?
I was trying to calm myself down because, you know, it's big free throws to make. So, you know, I was just trying to calm myself down and, you know, focus on the free throws.
Did you miss a second one intentionally, knowing that they didn't have enough time?
Yeah, you know, they have not enough time. You don't want a timeout, so taking on the side, you know, drawing some plays. So you just miss intentionally.
Do you have to change the way you play? In the overtime, they started bringing doubles from different areas and different from the backside. Do you have to change the way you play at that point? Or?
Yeah, I was stuck in that a little bit. Then I made some adjustments, you know, passing out. But, you know, they did a pretty good job of doubling teaming. So, you know, that was a stretch when they had a good double teaming.
Were you frustrated entering overtime because of the fact that they had come back from that 19-point deficit the way that they did?
I mean, they're a good team. We expect big things from them, from Harden especially. So, you know, they played good in the fourth quarter, you know. So, well, it's no doubt they're going to do that every night. So, good thing we knew what we're doing. We didn't give up and play to the end and won a game.
Seems like the better the team you guys play, the better you guys play. What do you make of that?
Well, let's keep it that way, okay? Let's keep it that way. More good teams.
Everybody good? Yep.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Again, Jonas talking about – it was funny him talking about him trying to calm himself down and just sink a free throw. So, you know, it's amazing to be able to do that in the last second moments, knowing that one free throw wins the game. So, just an excellent game from Jonas Valanciunas. Again, I'm becoming to love him more and more. He might be one of my favorite new players for the Grizzlies. He's a super fun guy to talk to, super funny. And just all around is a really, really good player. So excited to be able to watch him more and more. Again, that wraps up our Thursday show for the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, if you're not already following me on Twitter, please do so at King_producer. If you're not already following the show, at Locked On Grizz is the Twitter handle. That's where we will continue the conversation after the show. If you want to be a featured sponsor on this show, please email me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. A lot of great rates. We're growing every single day. Would love to talk to you about it. Again, make sure you subscribe to iTunes, subscribe to Stitcher, Spotify, literally wherever you get your podcasts. We are available on every single platform. If you don't know where to go, if you still are confused, just go to lockedongrizzlies.com.